بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Okay, today we're reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Medina, Book 3, Dr. Fahd Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And we're doing the second half of Book 3, that is the Level 4 course. And the lesson that we're working with right now is Lesson 18, the first lesson of the Level 3 course. So, from what was suggested as homework assignments for this previous week to be covered in this live session today, one of the things that I mentioned in the suggested homework assignments was to review Lesson 16. And this is because of some feedback that I got from some of the students who were not with us for Level 3 and might not be completely, totally familiar with some of the material that we covered in Lesson 3. And as well, it can be a review for those who did cover it. I think that Lesson 16 and Lesson 17 of the Level 3 course, the final three lessons, are directly connected to the lessons that are in front of us for Level 4. Okay, so this week and next week, we're going to review a little bit of Lesson 16 this week and Lesson 17 next week. All right, so in addition to that, quick review of a few Yani matters from Lesson 16 that will help us in the lesson that we are doing now and the lessons that are coming in the future weeks. In addition to that, we're also going to do a quick review of a few points from Lesson 18 of what we covered in the last session and what we're going to cover today. As far as the remaining matters from the English key from Lesson 18, we'll review them next week when we deal with those matters in the final session for Lesson 18. Okay, so we're going to cover a quick review of Lesson 16, the core points from Lesson 16, and we're going to review a quick review of the English key of Lesson 18, yani related to the points that we already covered and the points that we're going to cover in today's session. As far as the remaining points from the English key of Lesson 18, we'll cover them. You'll do them for homework. You'll look at those for homework during the week, and we'll cover them in the following session next week. Okay, so in this session today from Lesson 18, we're going to deal with three matters only. Yani, the Arabic verb ara, which is on page 156, the Arabic and English explanation of bab fa'ala, which deals with two of the meanings of bab fa'ala, extensive and intensive. And also, the third thing we're going to deal with is the subject of a tahdhir, warning. Okay, so these are three subjects that remain in Lesson 18. We're going to cover those three subjects today and the exercises with them. And the remaining subjects from the English key for Lesson 18, we're going to cover in next week's live session. Okay, so again, quick review of Lesson 16, core points of the English key. Quick review of Lesson 18, the core points that we've already covered or that we're going to cover today, and then we'll do the exercises for those three points that we're going to cover today. All right, so let's go to Lesson 16, and I'm just going to look at the English key and try to summarize quickly some of the important matters that you need to know as we go on in the lessons that are ahead of us today and in the lessons that are ahead of us. So what is very important from Lesson 16 that a person really needs to know? On the first page of the English key for Lesson 16, which is page 65, it says in this lesson we learn the following. And again, I'm not going to read every word here, but I'm going to try to just summarize what is essential that you must know. In this lesson we learn the following. Number one, we have seen in Book 2, Lessons 4 and 10, that most Arabic verbs are made up of three letters, which are called radicals. Yani, the root letters are called radicals, like kataba, jalasa, sharida, and so on. This line here is really important. A verb consisting of three radicals is called thulathi. We're going to be seeing this word again and again and again. A verb that consists of three radicals or three root letters is called al-fi'lu al-thulathiyu, the thulathi verb, because it has three, from thalatha, three root letters or three radicals. There are, however, certain verbs which consist of four radicals. Yani most Arabic verbs consist of three radicals, but there are some that consist of four radicals or four root letters, like tarjama, basmala, harwala, and so on. A verb consisting of four radicals is called ruba'i, yani al-fi'lu al-ruba'iyu. So now we have two things, two categories of the Arabic verb. Those that consist of three radicals or three root letters, al-thulathi, and those that consist of four radicals or four root letters, and they are called al-ruba'i. From another angle altogether, a verb in Arabic may be either mujarrad or mazid. Okay, so from one perspective, the Arabic verb is thulathi or ruba'i. From another perspective, the Arabic verb may be mujarrad or mazid. So what is a mujarrad and what is a mazid? This is also very, very important to understand and know well as we go on to the lessons, like today and in the future lessons. Because we're going to be dealing with, in the next 7 or 8 lessons, we're going to be dealing with different forms of the verb. So we need to know what is thulathi, what is ruba'i. We're going to cover ruba'i later on, a little bit later, in detail. Mostly what we're going to be dealing with is the thulathi, and we're going to be looking at it from this second perspective. The mujarrad or mazid. We're going to be looking at thulathi mazid verbs. So what is a mujarrad and what is a mazid? A mujarrad verb has only three letters if it is thulathi, and only four letters if it is ruba'i. And no extra letters have been added to them in order to modify the meaning. Mujarrad verb, if it's a thulathi mujarrad, it has only three root letters. If it's a ruba'i mujarrad, it has only four root letters, with no extra letters that have been added that modify or change the meaning. So a thulathi mujarrad is like salima, and a thulathi ruba'i mujarrad is like zalzala. Three root letters, salima. Four root letters, zalzala. Salima is a thulathi mujarrad. It doesn't have any extra letters changing or modifying its meaning. Zalzala is a ruba'i mujarrad. It doesn't have any extra letters modifying its meaning. That's a mujarrad. It has only three or four letters that are the original root letters or radicals. It has no extra letters that have been added to modify their meaning. So what is a mazid? In a mazid verb, one or more letters have been added. One or two or three letters have been added to the original root letters or the original radicals in order to modify the meaning. Yani this extra letter that's added, or two letters or three letters, is going to modify them. It doesn't change the meaning completely, but it modifies the meaning. Alright? So, then they give us some examples of thulathi mazid from salima. Salima, it has three letters that are the root letters, but when we add letters to it, that becomes a mazid verb. Mazid means yani ziyada, increased letters. Increase of one or two or three letters, it becomes mazid, and those letters, when you increase the letters in that verb, it modifies the meaning. And then they give us some examples quickly. Salama, which is the set, when you look in the dictionary, you look at the forms of the verb, the second form is salama. It means that the middle radical has been doubled by shadda. So now it modifies the meaning a little bit. Salama. You added an aleph there, it modifies the meaning a little. Tasallama. You added a ta in the beginning and doubled the middle radical, the lam, with shadda, modifies the meaning. Aslama. Yani you added the hamza to the beginning of it, and the first radical takes sukoon, it modifies the meaning. So these are examples of thulathi verbs when extra letter, one or two or more, is added, which modify the meaning. Salima means he was safe. Salama means he saved, or he greeted someone, or he surrendered someone. Salama means he made peace. Tasallama means he received something. Aslama means he surrendered, yani he became a Muslim. And on the next page they gave us istaslama, which means he surrendered, yani he gave up. These are examples of thulathi three radical verb that has letters increased, one or two or three letters increased to modify the meaning. Then they give us a rubai verb, zalzala, which means he shook it violently. And then they added a ta to the beginning of it, tazalzala, it itself shook violently. Okay, so the meaning is still there of shaking violently, but in the first one, zalzala, someone shook it, he shook something. And in the second one, tazalzala, it shook itself. It shook violently. Okay, each of these modified forms with one or two or three letters added is called a bab. Yani, it's a bab from the plural abwab. Yani, it's one of the babs, one of the yani forms of the verb of yani where letters have been increased to modify the meaning. So this is the bab fa'ala, where the middle radical has been doubled, or the bab fa'ala, where the first radical takes an extra alif, or the bab aslama, where hamza is added to the beginning, yani to modify the meaning. Each one of these forms, fa'ala, fa'ala, and so on, yani af'ala, are called a bab. Each one of them is a bab. Then it also says abwab of the mujarrad. Even the mujarrad verb has babs or abwab, and this is something that we looked at in book 2, lesson 10. And basically what they're showing us here is that there are six groups of the mujarrad verb. Without any letters being added, there are six groups of the mujarrad verb, six abwab, and that is a classification into six groups according to the middle radical vowel in the past tense and the present tense. If the middle radical vowel in the past tense is fatha, and the middle radical vowel in the present tense is dhamma, that's fatha dhamma group or AU group, because it's like sajada yasjudu. It has fatha on the middle radical in the past tense and dhamma in the present tense. If it has fatha in the past tense and kasra in the present tense, then it's fatha kasra group. As in jalasa yajlisu, if it has fatha on the middle radical in past and present tense, it's fatha group, as in fataha yaftahu. And if it has yani on the middle radical in the past tense kasra, and the present tense middle radical fatha, then it's kasra fatha group, as in fahima yafhamu. And if it has dhamma on both the middle radical in past and present tense, it's dhamma group, as in qaruba yakrubu. And if it has kasra on both the middle radical in the past tense and the present tense, then it's kasra group, as in waritha yarithu. Whoever didn't study these abwab before, then please yani review this particular matter. Okay, the second thing that I want to look at here, which is the most important of what I want to look at in this chapter 16, quickly, are eight matters that we covered in lesson 16 in reference to the mazid verb, thulathi mazid verb. Yani, it originally has three root letters, but yani, a letter has been added to it to modify its meaning. And specifically, we want to look at, like we already looked at what? Yani, that how this thulathi verb can, letters can be added to change salima to salama, salama to salama, aslama, istaslama. So we want to just look at one of those babs. Yani, the first bab of mazid is where the middle radical is doubled with shadda. And the reason why this is important is because this discussion is going to be followed in every bab of the abwab of the mazid verbs that we're going to cover in the next few months. This same format is going to be followed, meaning we're going to look at that particular bab. How do you formulate the mudari from the madi? How do you formulate the fi'l amra? How do you formulate the masdar? How do you formulate the ism fa'il, the ism maf'ul, the ism makan, and ism zaman? Eight matters. The format is going to be pretty much for each lesson when we take a new bab from the mazid verbs, and we're going to be doing that over the next few months. The format is going to be basically the same. We're going to look at the past tense, present tense, command form, and the masdar, the infinitive. Then we're going to look at the ism fa'il, maf'ul, zaman, and makan. Eight things. In every bab of the abwab of thulathi mazid, we're going to be looking at these eight things. So that's why it's important for us to review it here. Before we go on to lesson 19, we're going to take a new bab and we're going to see these eight things. And so this quick review here hopefully will help us to familiarize ourselves with this format if we're not already familiar with it. Okay, so on the bottom of page 66, number 2, it says we have just been introduced to some of the abwab of the mazid verb, yani fa'ala, فعل أفعل تفعل and so on. We will now learn one of these abwab in some detail, and in the future lessons 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, we're going to be taking the rest of these babs of the mazid from thulathi. All right. So today we're going to, in lesson 16 we looked at one bab of these abwab, and this bab that we are going to learn, that we learned in lesson 16 previously, is bab fa'ala. In this bab, the second radical is doubled. For example, it became qabbala, he kissed. Darrasa, he taught. Sajjala, he recorded. Okay, the middle radical being doubled is bab fa'ala. How do you formulate the mudari from this? The mudari, let us now learn the mudari of this bab. As a rule, harf al-mudara'a, yani the letter that's added to the beginning of a verb to form the mudari form, yani the ya or the ta or the hamza or the noon, like when you say, yani kataba mudari, you say yaktubu, taktubu, naktubu, aktubu. Those four letters are called huruf al-mudara'a, not mudari'a, mudara'a. Yani the verb is called, yani fi'l mudari, but these letters are called huruf mudara'a with fatha, mudara'a. So as a rule, harf al-mudara takes dhamma if the verb is composed of four letters. Previously we saw this letter, as in yaktubu and yajlisu and ya'kulu. We saw that this letter, when we add it to the beginning, it's taking fatha. But if a verb has four letters, instead of fatha, it's going to take dhamma. Okay, so please pay attention to this. Let us now learn the mudari of this bab. As a rule, harf al-mudara takes dhamma. And the footnote here is on the next page. That's with this mudara explaining what is meant by harf mudara, which I just explained. If it has four letters, it takes dhamma. If it has five or six or three, then it stays with fatha. But if it has four letters, as it is in fa'ala, and as it is in af'ala, then the harf mudara that we add to the prefix to the beginning is going to take dhamma. As the verb in this bab, and I'm turning to the top of page 67, as the verb in this bab is made up of four letters, the harf al-mudari takes dhamma. Now we're going to look at the voweling scheme, the pattern of voweling for the mudari form of this bab, fa'ala. The first radical, yani after the harf mudari, and the harf mudari we said takes dhamma, right? So the first original root letter is going to take fatha. The second root letter, which is the one that's doubled, it's going to be a doubled letter, right? The first of that double letter takes the sukoon, and the second of the double letter, which will be the third letter, takes kasra, and the fourth letter takes the case ending. So we have four letters here. Okay, we have four letters. The three original root letters and the extra middle radical that's doubled. The prefix mudara'a letter takes dhamma. Now we have the root letters and the extra letter that was doubled in the middle. The first of the root letters takes fatha, the second one takes sukoon, the third one takes kasra, and the last one takes the case ending. Yani if it's marfu' and it takes dhamma, if it's mansub it takes fatha, if it's majzum it takes sukoon. Alright, so what we're looking at here is the prefix letter takes dhamma, then the root letters and the increased letter on the middle radical take fatha, sukoon, kasra, and whatever the case ending is. In this case, normally it would be dhamma, unless it's changed to being mansub with fatha or majzum with sukoon. So from the verb allama, for example, you get yu'allimu. Yani the first prefix letter takes dhamma, the root letter ayn takes fatha, the second and third letter, which is the two letters that are double, takes sukoon and kasra, and the last letter takes the case ending. So you get allama, yu'allimu. Alright, again, the voweling pattern, the wazn for the vowels, is going to be the prefix letter takes dhamma, the root letters and the middle radical being double take fatha, sukoon, kasra, and any of the case ending. So the example they gave us is qabbala, yuqabbilu. Notice that the prefix letter is dhamma, the first root letter takes fatha, the second root letter, it's doubled with shadda, so shadda means that these two letters that are doubled, the first one is always sukoon. And the second one is going to take its vowel, whatever it is, in this case it's always going to be kasra for the bab fa'ala. The doubled letter is going to be sukoon kasra. So you get yu, qab, bi, and then the case ending. In this case it's dhamma, if it's mansub it'll be fatha, if it's majzum it'll be sukoon. يقبل. So notice this pattern. قبل يقبل. The second example they gave us. سجل يسجل. Another example I'll add. درس يدرس. This like just notice the rhythm of the pattern of the voweling. يقبل يسجل يدرس. So that's how you formulate the فعل مضاري from the past tense. يعني you add the prefix letter and then you use this voweling pattern. The prefix letter takes dhamma, the first radical takes fatha, the doubled letter takes sukoon and kasra. Dhamma, fatha, sukoon, kasra. يسجل يدرس يقبل. Next, how do you formulate the fi'l amr? The amr is formed by dropping the harf mudara'a. Yani the first prefix letter, cut it off. Omit it, delete it. And the case ending is also dropped. Yani the vowel on the last letter becomes sukoon. So you have to do only two things. Get rid of the harf mudara'a and make the last letter sukoon. That's it. That's the fi'l amr. So from qabbala yuqabbilu, of course the fi'l amr is always derived from the command form, second person. So it's going to be derived from two. قَبِّلُ أَنْتَ تُقَبِّلُ. All you have to do is get rid of the two and make the last letter ساكن. The lamb takes sukoon. Two, قَبِّلُ, get rid of the two, you have قَبِّل with making the last letter sukoon. قَبِّل, that's the fi'l amr. Alright, so for example from تُدَرِّسُ, from دَرَّسَ يُدَرِّسُ, تُدَرِّسُ, get rid of the two, make the last letter sukoon. تُدَرِّسُ becomes دَرِّس. تو سجلو becomes سجل. تو قتلو becomes قتل, and so on like that. That's the فعل أمر. Again, this should be a review, but if you didn't study this before, we gave it to you for homework to go over, and now I'm just trying to explain it quickly. The fourth matter is the مصدر, the infinitive. We have been introduced to the مصدر in Book 2, Lesson 11. The ثلاثي مجرد verbs do not have one, any particular pattern for the مصدر. Rather, there are different patterns for different verbs. And you just have to learn every مصدر with its verb. It comes on different patterns. قتل, the مصدر is قتل. كتب, كتابة. دخل, دخول. شرب, شرب. Every one of these مصدرs has a different pattern. يعني in the ثلاثي مجرد. But in the ثلاثي مزيد, every verb has a particular pattern. خلاص, it sticks to that. Alright, so in the mazid verbs, each bab has its own pattern for mastar. The mastar pattern for this bab, fa'ala, that we studied in lesson 16, is taf'il. Meaning, fa' represents the first root letter, ayn represents the second root letter, and lam represents the third root letter. The ta here is prefixed to the root letters to form the pattern for the mastar. So the pattern for the mastar is going to be three root letters. Prefix to it is going to be ta with fatha. The first root letter represented by fa is going to be sukoon. The second root letter represented by ayn is going to take kasra elongated by ya. And then the third root letter will take, yani whatever the case ending requires, dhamma, fatha, or kasra. So the pattern is taf'il. So from qabbala, if you put on the root letters of qaf, ba, lam, if you put ta with fatha, prefix it, the first root letter qaf takes sukoon because it's taf ala. Fa means the first root letter, takes sukoon. The second root letter is going to take kasra elongated by ya. So the ba is going to take kasra elongated by ya, and the last root letter is going to take whatever vowel is required by the case ending, any by the i'rab. So qabbala becomes taqbilun, and sajjala becomes tasjilun, and darrasa becomes tadrisun. This is the pattern for the mastar for the bab fa'ala, and each bab that we take of the mazid verbs, we're going to learn the pattern of the mastar with it. Okay, it will be one pattern for each mastar, and you'll always know what the mastar is from that pattern. There's just an extra note here related to the mastar for bab fa'ala. The bab fa'ala, the mastar, if it's a naqis verb from bab fa'ala, or a verb wherein the third radical has hamza, it will be on the pattern of taf'ila. Instead of the elongation of the second radical, kasra ya, it's going to be just a kasra, and then there's going to be a ta mabuta added to the end, so the pattern instead of tafa'ilun is going to be tafa'ilatun. Okay, that's for the naqis verb from this bab, fa'ala. For the naqis verb and the verb that has, yani the mahmuz verb that has hamza on the end, on the last radical. So for example, the naqis verb samma, okay, the pattern is going to be taf'ila, so we're going to say tasmiya with ta mabuta on the end. Tasmiyatun. Instead of tasmi, it's going to be tasmiyatun. The last radical being ya. Yani in samma, it's alif maksura, becomes ya in the pattern. So it becomes tasmiyatun. From rabba, also a naqis verb. From rabba, yani the root letters are going to be ra, ba, and the alif maksura is going to be ya. It's going to be tarabiyatun. Tarabiyatun. And from hanna'a, which is a mahmuz verb, it has the last radical is hamza. Yani the root letters are going to be ha, noon, and hamza. On the pattern of taf'ila, it's going to be tahni'a. Tahni'atun. Okay, that's the special master pattern for bab fa'ala if the verb is a naqis verb or a verb that has hamza as the last radical. Otherwise, the primary pattern for the master for this bab fa'ala is taf'il. Okay, the next four matters that we're going to be looking at in every lesson in the next 7 or 8 lessons is going to be the ism fa'il. Okay, ism fa'il means the noun that represents the one who's doing the action of that verb. Like from kataba, katibun. That's what we had for thulathi verbs. Yani from daraba, daribun. Yani ism fa'il. Here, the ism fa'il for the bab fa'ala is going to be, it's formed by replacing the harf mudara'a with mu. Yani you're just going to change the prefix letter in the beginning of the mudari verb, change it to mim with dhamma. And the end of the verb, because it's a noun, it's going to take tanween. That's all you have to do, is change the harf mudara and the beginning of the verb to mu. So as the ism fa'il is a noun, it takes tanween. For example, yusajjilu becomes musajjil. All you're doing is changing you to mu. So yusajjilu means to record something. Musajjil is the one who records, or the thing that records, the tape recorder. Yudarrisu becomes, instead of you, mu, mudarris. So yudarrisu means to teach. Mudarris is one who teaches. That's the ism fa'il, the one who does the action of the verb. As far as the ism maf'ul, the one that the effect of the verb occurs to, the one that the action happens to, ism maf'ul, yani from qatala to kill, qatil is the one who kills and maqtul is the one who is killed. So that's the ism maf'ul, the one that the action happens to. In the abwab of the mazid, in all the abwab of mazid that we're taking, bab fa'ala, fa'ala, af'ala, all of them, the ism maf'ul is just like the ism fa'il. It's just like the ism fa'il, except that the second radical takes fatha instead of kasra. That's all. Yani, so just like you said, yusajjilu, yani becomes ism fa'il, musajjil, you just change that kasra to fatha, musajjal. Musajjil, musajjal. That's the only thing that's different between the ism maf'ul and the ism fa'il, that the second radical vowel, instead of kasra in the ism fa'il, it becomes fatha in the ism maf'ul. So for example, yujallidu, he binds a book. The one who does binding is called mujallid. Yani with kasra, mujallid, that's the ism fa'il. Mujallad with fatha is the ism maf'ul. Mujallid with kasra, ism fa'il. Mujallad with fatha, ism maf'ul. So mujallid means the one who binds books, and mujallad means the thing that was, that he bound, the book that he binded. Same thing, yuhammidu means he praises, muhammid means one who praises much. Muhammad with fatha means one who has been praised much. And finally, the ism makan and zaman, in all abwab of the mazid, the noun of place and time is the same, exactly the same as the ism maf'ul. So from yusalli, you get musalli, one who prays, musalla, the place where the prayer is performed. So these last four ism fa'il, it's just changing the mudari from yusajjil to musajjil. Ism maf'ul is just changing the vowel from musajjil to musajjal fatha. And ism makan and zaman is the same as the ism fa'il. You just know, is it ism, is the same as the ism maf'ul. You know if it's ism maf'ul or if it's ism makan or ism zaman from the context of the sentence, but the exact same word would be used for ism maf'ul and ism makan and ism zaman. Ism makan meaning, you know, the noun that indicates the place where it's happening, and ism zaman meaning the time when it's happening. And this is what we wanted to cover from the lesson 16. And I think I also gave you references for the Arabic explanations of these, but I don't think that they're going to bring any much more clarity to the issue, except any more than what we just explained. But you can look at the Arabic explanations if you didn't already, on page 135, 136, 137, and 138. So this review of lesson 16 is for the purpose of preparing us for the format that's going to be used in the next 7 or 8 lessons as we deal with the Mazid from Thulathi. Each of them, the format is going to be, we're going to look at the past tense form, how you derive from it the present tense form, how you derive from it the fi'l amr form, how you derive from it the masdar pattern, how you derive from it the ism fa'il, the one who's doing the action of that verb, the ism maf'ul, the one who the action happens to, the ism zaman and makan, the place and time where the action occurs. That same format is going to be used. So hopefully this quick review of lesson 16 will help us in the future lessons. Okay, after that we want to go to a quick review of some matters from lesson 18 that we already covered, or that we're going to cover in today's session. Some matters that we already covered, or what we're going to cover in today's session. So if you go to the English key for lesson 18, and by the way, for homework next week we're going to review lesson 17. For homework, next week we're going to review lesson 17, and we'll cover that just as we did with 16 to make sure that everybody is, that we're all together on this. Okay, lesson 18, I just want to review some of the lessons, some of the points in the English key that we're going to cover in next week's session. You'll do them for homework, and I'll explain them in next week's live session, inshallah. So what I want to do today is just cover some of the important material that we covered in last week's session from the English key, and the 3 points that we're going to cover from this week's session, point number 2 on page 76, point number 3 on page 76, and point number 4 on page 76. These three matters are what we're going to cover in today's live session. So I'm going to review those three from the English key, and we're going to also review those from the Arabic text. But from the English key right now, I also want to review what we covered in last week's session. Very, very important matters. Just quickly, from the first page of lesson 18, English key, page 74, verbs are either transitive or intransitive. In lesson 16 we just reviewed, we said verbs are thulathi or rubai. And from one perspective, we can look at them from the angle of the original root letters being 3 or 4. Verbs can also be looked at from another angle of mujarrad and mazid. Yani that it just has simply the 3 or 4 original root letters, or there are extra letters added to modify the meaning. So these are two perspectives from which we can look at the verb. Yani it's thulathi or rubai, it's mujarrad or mazid. Now we're looking at verbs from another perspective. That is it transitive or intransitive? Yani is it mutaaddi or lazim? And we already covered this, I just want to look at it quickly. Verbs are either transitive or intransitive. A transitive verb, al-fi'l al-muta'addi, needs a subject, yani fa'il, which does the action, and an object, maf'ulun bi, which is affected by the action. If you understand that, we're good. The fi'l muta'addi, transitive verb, needs a subject, which does the action of that verb, fa'il, and it also needs an object that is affected by that action, the maf'ulun bi. So a transitive verb, fi'l muta'addi, needs a fa'il that's doing the action, and a maf'ulun bi that is affected by the action. And then they gave us the example, qatala al-jundiyu al-jasusa. So the verb qatala, the one who does the action is al-jundi, that's the fa'il. The one that's affected by the action of being killed is the jasus, that's the maf'ulun bi. And the fa'il is always marfu'un with dhamma, and the maf'ulun bi is always mansub. Primary sign of it being mansub is fatha. Going on, an intransitive verb, al-fi'l lazim, needs only a subject. It doesn't need a maf'ulun bi. It only needs a subject which does the action. Its action, yani, is confined to the subject, the fa'il. It's confined to the fa'il and does not affect others. It doesn't affect a direct object, maf'ulun bi, like fariha al-mudarris. Okay? So, fariha is a fi'l lazim. It only needs a subject, a fa'il, to do the action. It doesn't need an object, a direct object that's affected by the action. So when you say the teacher was happy, yani the action of being happy is limited, is restricted, yani to the, it is confined to the subject, al-mudarris. Same thing with kharaja, at-tulabu, the students went out. The action of going out is confined to, it is limited to, the fa'il, the tulab. It doesn't affect any object directly. Turning to page 75, it says, the subject of certain verbs affects others, but not directly. Yani it doesn't have a direct object, like a mutaaddi verb, but it may have an indirect object. So, the subject of certain verbs is not mutaaddi, it doesn't have a direct object, but it affects others indirectly. They do this with the help of prepositions. For example, I looked at him. Him is not the direct object of looking, but is an indirect object, and its effect is yani conveyed with the help of the preposition at. We believe in God, yani in is the preposition that helps yani the action of to believe, yani to have an indirect effect on the word God. So in Arabic, this is very common, that a verb may have an indirect object, yani, which it affects it indirectly with the help of a preposition. And since we went over this already, I'm not going to read all of these examples, but I'll just read the first example. غضب المدرس على الطالب الكسلاني. The teacher got angry with the lazy student. He got angry with the lazy student, and this preposition with is helping the action of ghadab, anger, yani to affect at talib. It doesn't directly affect it, but indirectly with the help of the preposition, you say ghadiba mudarrisu ala talibi. So talibi is an indirect object, it, and therefore we see it as being majrur because of the preposition that is helping the verb to have some effect on the indirect object. So they gave us several examples here, and at the end of those examples, it says, the object of such a verb is called al-maf'ulu ghayru sarih. Yani maf'ulun bi ghayru sarih. Yani a maf'ulun bi that is not clear, it's not directly affecting it. Indirect object. It is majrur because of the preposition that's used with it, but it is in the place of nasb. Fi mahalli nasb, because it's an indirect object. An indirect maf'ulun bi, so it's fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub, but because of the preposition that helps the verb to have some effect on the indirect object, the preposition makes that indirect object majrur lafzan. Yani in its wording, the way we see it, it's majrur with kasra, but mahallan, it's in the place where it should be mansub as an indirect object. Okay, so we covered this before. This is just a quick review of that. The second point is more, is directly related. I mean, what's called the second point? We said we're going to make this a part of the first point because there's another point that comes after this that says number two, which we're going to also look at today. But this next point here, yani on page 75, halfway down the page, how to make an intransitive verb transitive is what we're going to cover in our lesson today. Yani in the exercises today, we're going to look at this. So hopefully you understood it when you read it, you did the exercises and you did them well. We're just going to go over this right now again, just to make sure that it's clear to everybody. How to make an intransitive verb transitive. We say in English, rise and raise your hand. Rise is intransitive. Yani the action of rise, it doesn't affect anything directly. And by changing the pattern of a verb, we get raise, which is transitive because it's affecting something. Raise your hand. But this kind of change is very rare in English. In Arabic, it is very common. Okay, now let's look at, this is the core of what we want to say concerning this matter of how to make an intransitive verb, yani lazim, how to make it transitive muta'addin. An intransitive verb can be made transitive by changing it to one of two babs, either bab fa'ala, that's A, or bab afala, that's B. Bab fa'ala, for example, nazala, he got down. Nazala, with shadda on the zay, he brought down. Yani he caused somebody else to come down. In the example they gave us the sentence, نَزَلْتُ مِنَ السَّيَّارَةِ I got down from the car. ثُمَّ نَزَّلْتُ التِّفْلَ Then I took down the child. I brought down, I caused the child to come down. This process of changing an intransitive verb, لازم verb, into a transitive verb, متعدن, is by doubling the second radical, the process of changing it by doubling the second radical, يعني to the verb فَعَلَ, this is called تَدَعِيف. تَدَعِيف meaning, يعني you doubling the second vowel, you're making it double. You're doubling it with shadda. When you make the second radical, I mean, when you double the second radical with shadda, this is called, the process of doing so is called tada'if, doubling. That's what happens in bab fa'ala that we're looking at in detail, that we're going to be looking at in detail today. The other way, though, to make an intransitive verb transitive, muta'addin, is by changing it to bab af'ala. That's another way to make an intransitive verb transitive. One way is by transferring it to bab fa'ala, and that's called tada'if, doubling. And another way is to transfer it to bab af'ala. For example, jalasa, he sat. Ajlasa, he seated him. And he called somebody else to sit. In the sentence, jalastu fi saf al-awwal, I sat in the first row. Wa ajlastu at-tifla bijanibi. And I seated the child by my side. I caused the child to sit beside me. The hamza, which is prefixed to the verb in bab af'ala, is called hamzatu ta'adiyah. Hamzatu ta'adiyah. Yani the transitive hamza. Meaning the hamza that when you add it to a verb, it makes it transitive. Certain verbs can be changed to both these abwab. Can be changed to fa'ala and afala. For example, the verb nazala can be changed to nazala, and it can be changed to anzala. And in both cases, nazala and anzala means to cause somebody else to come down or to bring somebody else down. Most verbs can be changed to either one of them. Yani some verbs can be changed to both fa'ala and afala. Most verbs can only be changed to either one of them, either fa'ala or afala. One must learn this from books and dictionaries. Now finally, on this point, the final point here is, if a transitive verb is transferred to any of these two abwab, it becomes doubly transitive. If it's already having an effect, direct object, when you transfer it to fa'ala or af'ala, it becomes doubly transitive, meaning it takes two objects. Now it affects, it makes two objects mansub. And the example they gave us here, Darastu al-lughata al-arabiyya. I studied Arabic. One direct object. Here the verb darasa has one object, al-lugha, and al-arabiyya is a not. But if I change it to bab fa'ala and change it to darastuka al-lughata al-arabiyya, I taught you Arabic. Here it has two objects, the ka and darastuka and al-lughata. Two objects. Because it was already transitive, if you transfer it to one of these two babs, fa'ala or afala, becomes doubly transitive, meaning has now instead of one object, two objects. The other example they gave us is Samia al-mudarrisu al-Qur'ana. The teacher listened to the Qur'an. Yani the object of Samia is one object. It's al-Qur'ana. But if we transfer it to bab af'ala, Samia becomes asma'a at-tulabu al-mudarrisa mansub al-fatta al-Qur'ana. Mansub al-fatta. The students read out Quran to the teacher. Here, yani now when we transfer it to the bab afala, this verb now becomes doubly transitive, meaning it has two objects. The first object is al-mudarrisa, who was caused to listen, and the second object is the Quran, which is what was recited. Literally, the students made the teacher listen to the Quran. Okay, so this matter we're going to be dealing with in our lesson today. We're going to see some of this, and we saw it yani in last week's lesson as well. We went over this. We're going to see this today. And then the main three points that are brand new that we're going to look at in the lesson today, in our session, live session today that you have for homework, is point number 2 of the English key on page 76, Ara. And of course we read this before in the first time we went over this lesson 18 in the first session. Ara, he showed, and he caused somebody else to see. This is from bab af'ala, from the thulathi mujarrad verb
رأى يرى,
he saw. When we transfer it to the verb, to the verb أفعل, رأى becomes أرى. That's its original form. يعني أفعل أرى. But the second Hamza in أرى, the second Hamza is omitted. So the مضاري, the second Hamza is omitted. So instead of أرى we say أرى. يعني رأى means he saw. أرى means to cause somebody, he caused somebody else to see. The مضاري from this verb is يري, and the فعل أمر is أري. And this is how the أمر is isnaded to other pronouns of the second person. يعني the فعل أمر, remember, is always used only in the second person. Okay, I see a question here that was a long time ago. What is the Arabic word for radicals of the فعل? يعني the radicals of the fi'l are called, yani the wazn. The wazn, they're called fa. Yani the first radical is called the fa of the verb, and the second radical is called the ayn of the verb, and the third radical is called the lam. So they're called, yani fa al kalima, ayn al kalima, and lam al kalima. Alright? So they're just called by the letters that are used in that pattern. Fa'ala is the pattern. The first radical represented by fa is called fa al-kalima. The fa of the kalima, meaning the first root letter. The first root letter or the first radical of the verb. Ayn al-kalima means represented by the second letter in that pattern, fa'ala. Ayn means, yani, the second radical. The second radical of the verb. And lam, yani, represents the third radical, so it's called fa al-kalima, ayn al-kalima, and lam al-kalima. Okay, meaning the first radical, second radical, and third radical. Wa iyyakum. Sorry that I'm not looking at the screen. Allahu musta'an, I'm not used to looking at the screen. Okay, so as far as this this point number two, ara, which is from the bab af'ala, originally from the thulathi mujarrad, ra'a, we said that yani originally it should have been ara, but now the second hamza is deleted, so it just became ara, and the mudari is yuri, and the fil amr is ari, and the other second person forms of the fil amr, second person masculine singular, is ari, as in arini, show me this book, ya Ali. The second person masculine plural is aru, aru, yani as in aruni, show me this book, O brothers. And the second person feminine singular is ari, elongating it. Yani the second person masculine singular is ari, without elongation. When you elongate it, ari, that's the second person feminine singular. Arini hadha al-kitab ya Maryam. And you have to just excuse me a second. I'm very sorry, but I have somebody ringing my doorbell. So just give me a second. Okay, I'm back. Allahu musta'an. Okay, sorry for that interruption, but there's a delivery. And you know, or you might know, you might not know, that if you leave, and if they leave a delivery at your door and you don't pick it up, somebody might come and take it. Allahu musta'an. Nothing is safe today. Okay, so back to where I was at before this interruption. Okay, so again, the second person, the isnad to the second person pronouns for the command form from this verb ara is masculine singular ari, feminine singular ari, which with elongation, masculine plural aru, and feminine plural is arina, with yani a short vowel, arina, as in arinani, show me هذا الكتاب, this book, يا أخواتو. Okay, so it's أري plural, أرو feminine singular, أري, and feminine plural, أرينا. Okay, we're going to look at this again as we go through the session today. The next point that we're going to be looking at today, very, very important point, number 3 on the bottom of page 76. We have just seen that when a verb is transferred, we just talked about this in the previous explanation from this English key. We have just seen that when a verb is transferred to bab fa'ala, and we looked at bab fa'ala and bab afala, both of them make a transitive verb, an intransitive verb transitive. So we have just seen, now we're going to look at bab fa'ala specifically, that when a verb is transferred to bab fa'ala, it becomes transitive. For example, nazzala with shadda from nazzala. Yani nazzala becomes, it makes the verb nazzala transitive. He nazzala, he descended, but nazzala, he caused somebody else to descend. So as we just mentioned previously, if the verb is already transitive with one object, one maf'ulun bi, it becomes doubly transitive with two objects or two maf'ul bi. For example, darasa with shadda on the ra, from darasa, yani meaning darasa is already transitive. It has an object, but when you transfer it to the bab fa'ala, darasa becomes doubly transitive, has two objects. This bab, in addition, this is very, very important point to note, in addition to one of its meaning being that an intransitive verb becomes transitive when you come to this bab, or a transitive verb becomes doubly transitive when you come to this bab, in addition to that, it also has two other possible meanings, not just making an intransitive verb transitive, or a transitive verb doubly transitive. It has two other meanings that we're going to look at here, and that is a takthir, which is extensive action, or al-mubalagha, which means intensive action. So there are three meanings for bab fa'ala. One meaning is the meaning of transitive. It makes an intransitive verb transitive, or transitive verb doubly transitive. A second meaning is that it has the meaning of extensive action, which we're going to explain now, or the meaning of intensive action, which we're going to explain now. And it has either one of these meanings, not both of them at the same time. Either one, but not both of them at the same time. In Arabic, the first one, yani extensive, is called a takthir. Yani from kathir, many. It happens a lot of times, multiple times, a takthir. And the second one, intensive action, is called al-mubalaghatu. Yani al-mubalagha means to exaggerate. So intensive mean that it happens, yani, with some intensity. Alright? So there are two other meanings of the bab fa'ala besides an intransitive verb becoming transitive, or transitive verb becoming doubly transitive. It also has these two possible meanings. That it might give the meaning of an extensive action or an intensive action. So what do we mean by extensive and intensive? The words used for extensive is a takthir, and the word used for intensive is mubalagha. But what is meant by that? Okay, so at the bottom of the page, 76, it says an extensive action, yani takthir, is one done on a large scale, yani to many objects, or one done repeatedly to one object. So the extensive action, takthir, can have many objects that it affects, or it can have one object, but it's done repeatedly to that one object. So it can be many objects or one object. So we'll see, I'm contrasting that to the meaning of mubalagha, which always has only one object. It only has one object. The intensity, yani mubalagha, is only dealing with one object. But the extensive, takfir, can be one object, that the action is repeated on that object, or it can be many objects that it affects, each one of them, many times. It affects, yani it's done many times, but to many different objects. Or it can be one object that is done many times to that one object. Okay, so the difference between extensive is that it can have one object that is done to many times, or it can happen many times, but to different objects. Many objects. Whereas the intensive action, mubalagha, is only going to have one object that it has an intense effect upon it. Okay, again. An extensive action, yani takthir, is one done on a large scale to many objects, or done repeatedly to one object. For example, قَتَلَ الْمُجْرِمُ رَجُلًا. The criminal killed a man. But قَتَلَ الْمُجْرِمُ أَهْلَ الْقَرْيَةِ means the criminal massacred the people of the village. What's the difference? يعني قَتَلَ is يعني only has one object. He did the action of killing one time to one man. But when we transfer to the verb فَعَلَ, now it has the meaning of the action is repeated to many objects, or it's repeated on one object. Here it's many objects. He killed the people of the village. So he killed many times, but different people, many objects. So the criminal massacred the people of the village, meaning he killed a lot of people. It was a massacre. He killed a lot of people. The second example they gave us is جُلْتُ فِي هَذَا الْبَلَدِ. I went around this country. When we change that verb to فَعَلَ, جَوَّلْتُ فِي مَشْرِكِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا, مَشَارِكِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا, I traveled extensively. Yani traveled a lot of times to many different places, many objects, many places all over the world. Alright? So again, this is the meaning of takthir. I traveled a lot of times throughout the world, around the world. جَوَّلْتُ فِي مَشَارِكِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا. The next example they gave us is فَتَحْتُ الْبَابِ. I opened the door, one object. But when we transfer this verb to فَعَلَ, فَتَحْتُ الْأَبْوَابَ الْفُصُولِ. فَتَحْتُ أَبْوَابَ الْفُصُولِ. I opened the doors of the classroom, meaning I opened a lot of doors. I did the action of opening, but to many objects. So again, that is takthir, because it has many objects. As opposed to this last example, عَدَّ الرَّجُلُ مَالَهُ. The man counted his money. عَدَّ. But when we transfer it to باب فَعَلَ, عَدَّدَ الرَّجُلُ مَالَهُ. The man repeatedly counted the money. So it's one object, the mal, but he counted that money many times. So that's mubalaga. Yani that's mubalaga. Yani meaning that the action, not mubalaga, that's takthir, but it's an example of takthir when there's only one object. Okay, the previous examples was the example of takthir, the action being done many times but to many objects, traveling to many countries, opening many doors, killing many people. That's takthir with many objects. But takthir has also the possibility of having one object that the action is done to repeatedly, many times. And that's the example that's given here for takthir, yani, meaning that, extensive action. Okay, this is also an example of takthir, but it's when takthir, the meaning of repetition of the action is done to one object. Again, takthir can have many objects, so the action is repeated on each of those objects, or can have one object where the action is repeated on that one object. And both of those are possibilities for the meaning of takthir, meaning the action is repeated many times, either to many objects or to one object. The second meaning here of the bab fa'ala that we want to look at today is an intensive action. Yani al-mubalaga, an intensive action is one done thoroughly and with great force. But keep it in mind, to one object. It's only one object. And it's not done many times to that one object. It's not an action that's done many times. Takfir means the action is done many times, either to one object repeatedly or to many objects. But intensive mubalaga means that there's only one object and the action is only done one time. One object, one time. But it's done, yani, with intensity. Done thoroughly. Done with great force. Okay, so we have كَسَرْتُ الْكُوبَ. I broke the glass. But when we transfer كَسَرَ to كَسَّرَ, كَسَّرْتُ الْكُوبَ. Notice that there's only one object here. And it happens only, the action happens one time, but with intensity, with force. So كَسَّرْتُ الْكُوبَ means I smashed the glass. كَسَّرْتُ, I broke the glass. كَسَّرْتُ, I smashed the glass, yani, to pieces. Second example they gave us, قَطَعْتُ al-habla, I cut the rope. But if we transfer to bab fa'ala, qatta'tu, with shadda on the ta', qatta'tu al-habla, again notice only one action and one object, but done with intensity, done with great force, done thoroughly. Qatta'tu, with shadda on the ta', qatta'tu al-habla, means I cut the rope to pieces. Cut it to pieces. I cut it one time, I cut one object, but I cut it thoroughly. Okay, note, and we're closing this point with this point here, note the extensive action, takthir, that happens many times to many objects or to one object repeatedly, affects a number of objects or one object a number of times. It affects a number of objects or it affects one object repeatedly a number of times. Whereas the intensive action, mubalaga, affects only one object only once, but with great force. Okay, so this is the summary of this matter. Yani, that the difference between takthir and mubalaga is that takthir, extensive action, it affects a number of objects, or it affects one object, but repeatedly, many times. So it happens a lot of times, either, yani, to several different objects, or it's repeatedly done to one object. That is a takthir, extensive, happening many times. Intensive, mubalaga, it only affects one object, and it only affects it one time, but with great intensity, with great force, and it being done thoroughly. So please make a note of the difference, that if there's only one object happening one time, but with great force, that's mubalaga. If there are more than one object, or there's one object but the action is done repeatedly to it, then that's takthir. Both of them, takthir can be one object, repeating the action, or many objects, repeating the action on many objects. That's takthir. If it's only one object, and the action only is done one time, but with intensity, with great force, done thoroughly, then that's mubalaga. Okay, so this is a very, very important point. I hope that you read it for homework. I hope that you studied it carefully, you looked at it, examined it, and you got it well. And we're actually coming close to the end of our time. I didn't think it would take this much time, but in any case, we have one more point that we want to look at here. That is point number 4 on page 77, halfway down the page. This is the point of a tahdhir. Iyaka wal-kilaba, with fatah. Iyaka wal-kilaba means beware of dogs. This is called a tahdhir, meaning a warning. Warning somebody against something. Something harmful, something dangerous, warning them against it. Yani, you say iyaka, and then you mention that thing after a while, and it's mansub. Iyaka wal kilab, beware of dogs. Note that the noun after the waw is mansub. Yani, the noun after the waw is going to be mansub in this kind of construction. Then it says iyaka is for masculine singular. For masculine plural is iyakum. For feminine singular, iyaki, and for feminine plural, iyakunna. And these pronouns, ka and ki and kum and kunna, we knew from book 1. Alright, so it's just, yani, that we have iya here. Iyaka, iyaki, iyakum, iyakunna. Here's a hadith, iyakum walhasadu, beware of alhasad, jealousy or envy. Fa inna alhasada ya'kulu alhasanati, for indeed, jealousy or envy eats up good deeds, hasanat, kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hatab, just as an-nar, the fire, eats up the hatab, the firewood. The point, the shahid here that we want to look at in this hadith is, iyyakum wal-hasada, beware of hasad. And note that the noun that comes after waw is mansub with fatah. This is all we wanted to look at in the English key today. The remaining points, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all of these points, and 11 and 12, all of these points we'll deal with in the, yani, for homework this week and in the following session. But this is what we wanted to cover from the English key for today. Now, let me just see, yani, what we have time to look at here, of what remains. So, in the Arabic section of the book, we already covered last week from page, we covered page 152, we read that. Yani, that the ينقسم On page 152 of the Arabic section, يَنْقَسِمُ الْفِعْلِ بِأَتِبَارْ مَعَنَاهُ إِلَى مُتَعَدٍ وَلَازِمٍ. Yani that the verb, in consideration of its meaning, is divided into مُتَعَدٍ and لَازِمٍ. Yani transitive and intransitive. And we said that المتعدي ما تجاوز حدثه الفاعل إلى مفعول به. Yani that the متعدي is the verb whose حدث, its action, goes past the فاعل, doer of the action, to an object, the مفعول به. And they gave us an example. And they also said that this type of verb, the متعدي, هو يحتاج إلى فاعل يفعله ومفعول به يقع عليه. Yani that this type of verb, the متعدن verb, requires a fa'il to do the action and a maf'ulun bi that action occurs to. Then they said the lazim, and we just summarized this, we went over this before. Well, lazim ma la yata'adda atharuhu fa'ilahu. Yani the lazim is the verb that its athar, its effect, its action doesn't go beyond the fa'il. And they also said la yahtaj al-fi'lu al-lazimu ila maf'ulun bi. That this type of verb, the lazim, doesn't require a maf'ulun bi, an object. And then they said قَدْ يَتَعَدَّى الْفِعْلُ وَاللَّازِمُ بِوَاسِطَةِ حَرْفِ جَرَّ الْجَرِّ. Yani that sometimes the fi'l that is lazim, doesn't have a direct object, might go beyond it. It might affect something else. بِوَاسِطَةِ حَرْفِ جَرَّ. Yani with the help of a preposition, as in غَضَبَ الْمُدَرِّسُ عَلَى الطلبي. It doesn't have a direct object, but with the help of the preposition ala, it affects an indirect object. And in the next page, at the top of the page 153, it says وَيُسَمَّ مَفْعُولُ مِثْلِ هَذَا الْفِعْلِ غَيْرُ السَّرِيِّ وَهُوَ مَجْرُورٌ لَفْظًا بِحَرْفِ جَرْ مَنْسُوبٌ مَحَلًا عَلَى أَنَّهُ مَفْعُولُ بِهِ غَيْرُ السَّرِيِّ. Yani this type of object that is affected with the help of a preposition, يسمى, it is called مفعول. And the مفعول of this type of verb, مثل هذا الفعل, the مفعول of this type of verb is called غير صري. يعني it's indirect. It's a مفعول that's indirectly affected. So it is مجرور لفظا, يعني the wording of it is going to be مجرور with كسرة بحرف جا because of the preposition, but it is منصوب محلا, يعني meaning that is in the place where it should be mansoob, yani based upon what? Ala annahu maf'ulun bihi ghayru sari. Because it is an object, maf'ulun bihi, that is ghayru sari, indirect. And then we also mentioned last week, yani from the page 154, yasiru al-fi'l al-lazim muta'addiyan binaklihi ila babay af'ala wa fa'ala. Yani the fi'l that's lazim, yani intransitive, may become mutaaddiyan, transitive, by conveying it to one of the two babs, afala or fa'ala, and we already talked about that, and they gave examples of both of them. And then on the bottom of page 154 says, إِذَا نُقِلَ الْفِعْلَ الْمُتَعَدِّي إِلَى فِعْلِ إِلَى مَفْعُولًا وَاحِدًا إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْبَابَيْنِ تَعَدَّى إِلَى مَفْعُولَيْنِ. Yani when or if a verb that's already mutaaddin to one object, maf'ulun wahid, if it's transferred to either of these two babs, yani fa'ala or afala, ta'adda ila maf'ulain, then its effect, it begins to affect two objects, and they gave examples of that. And that is, yani, what we covered again related to this matter last week. As for today, we're going to look at, yani, the three matters on page 156, in the bottom of 157, and the top of, and page 159. Okay, three matters that we want to look at today, that are the three subjects, new subjects that we are taking today. And we don't have a lot of time, but in any case, since we already explained them from the English key, and we already, yani, read about them in a previous session, yani, we'll see what we can cover. Okay, so the first of them, from the English part, the Arabic text of the book, page 156, bottom half of the page, it says, أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُرِيَهَا الْمُدِيرَ. أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُرِيَهَا. أُرِيَهَا is the word that we're looking at here. Yani, I want to, أُرِيَهَا, show it to the مُدِير. أُرِيَهَا الْمُدِيرَ. Here, أُرِيَ is the مُضَارِي of the verb أَرَى, which is from the bab أَفْعَلَ, from the thulathi mujarrad verb ra'a. Ra'a is the thulathi mujarrad, he saw. Here we have transferred it to the bab afala, it became ara, which means he caused somebody to see or he showed them. Asluhu, the origin of this ara is ara'a, yani on the bab of afala. Hudhifat minhu aynuhu, but it's ayn, aynul kalima, yani the second middle radical or root letter has been deleted. So instead of ara'a, the second hamza is deleted, it became ara. Wal amra minhu, the command form from it is ari, as in arini, show me hadha, show me this, ya ariyu. Plural, aru, yani the command form for the second person, masculine plural, is aru, as in aruni hadha ya ikhwanu, show me, you all, show me this, O brothers. The feminine singular is ari, with elongation of the kasra of the ra, as in arini hadha ya maryamu, show me this, O Maryam. And the second person feminine plural form, feminine plural, is arina, yani the plural command form for the feminine is arina, as in arinani hadha ya akhawatu, show me this, O sisters. Then they gave us three sentences with examples, yani, of this use of this verb. Different forms of the verb, yani ara, ara, which means to show something. The first one on the bottom of page 156, arana al-mudarrisu kitaba nahwin jadidan. Arana al-mudarrisu, the teacher showed us. Showed us. Arana nahnu. Arana al-mudarrisu kitaba nahwin. He showed us a book of nahu, of grammar. Jadidan, that is new. Here, jadidan is a not describing kitab. That's why it's mansub. It's a not describing kitab. It's not immediately following kitab because kitab is an idalfa here. And you can't separate the mudalf from the mudalf ilayhi. So the teacher showed us kitab anahwan jadidan, a new grammar book. Number two, غَدًا سَآخُذُكُمْ إِلَى الْمَكْتَبَةِ الْعَامَّةِ وَأُرِيكُمْ الْمَعَاجِمَ كُلَّهَا. Tomorrow, سَآخُذَكُمْ, I will take you all to the general library, الْمَكْتَبَةِ الْعَامَةِ وَأُرِيكُمْ, and this is the word that we're looking at, and I will show you all. أُرِيكُمْ, yani this is the mudari form. أُرِيكُمْ, from أَرَى, أَنَا أُرِي, أَنْتَ تُرِي, نَحْنُ نُرِي. سَأُرِيكُمْ, and I will show you all. الْمَعَاجِمَ كُلَّهَا, all of the dictionaries. On the next page is the third sentence, page 157. أَرِنِي, that's the command form. جَوَازَ سَفَرِكَ يَا أَحْمَدُ, show me your passport, O Ahmed. أَرِنِي is the command form. أَرِي, and show me, أَنَا أَرِنِي جَوَازَ سَفَرِكَ يَا أَحْمَدُ, show me your passport, O Ahmed, your جواز السفر. وفي التنزيل, yani these are five examples that are in the Quran. في التنزيل, تنزيل means that which has been sent down, that which has been revealed. The first sentence, or the first ayah from Surah Taha, 20th Surah, 56th ayah. وَلَقَدَ أَرَيْنَاهُ, this is our word that we're looking at. وَلَقَدَ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا كُلَّهَا فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى. Indeed, we have showed him our signs, all of them, and he denied and he refused. The word here that we're looking at is arainahu, yani ara, this is the past tense, yani first person plural, arayna, we showed who, him, ayatina, our signs, kullaha, all of them. The second ayat from Surah Ghafir, 40th Surah, 13th ayat. هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُنَزِّلُ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ رِزْقًا. Yani he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيكُمْ, this is the mudari form from أَرَى, هُوَ يُرِي, نَحْنُ نُرِي, أَنْتَ تُرِي, هو الذي يريكم, he is the one who shows you آياته, his signs, his آيات, وينزل لكم, and he sends down for you من السماء, from the skies, رزقا, your provisions. The third ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 260th ayah. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي, this is the word that we're looking at, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِتَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. يعني remember when Ibrahim said, رَبِّي, O my Lord, أَرِنِي, show me, this is the command form, أَرِنِي, second person, masculine singular, أَرِي, the second person, feminine singular, is Ari, right? With elongation. Rabbi Arini, show me, كيف تحيي الموتى, show me how you give life to the dead. قال أولم تؤمن, he said, do you not believe? He said, بلى, indeed I do believe, ولكن لتطمئن قلبي, but this is so that, I need to give comfort, rest, assurance to my heart. The fourth ayah from Surah Luqman, 31st surah, 11th ayah, هذا خلق الله فأروني, this is the word that we're looking at, the second person, masculine plural, أرو, فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه, this is the creation of Allah, فأروني, show me, you all, second person, masculine plural, فأروني, show me ماذا خلق الذين من دونه, show me what those besides him have created. And the last ayah is from Surah Fussilat, 41st surah, 29th ayah, وقال الذين كفروا ربنا أرنا, this is the word that we're looking for, أرنا, الذين أضلانا من الجن والإنس نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا ليكون من الأسفلين. يعني وقال الذين كفروا, those who disbelieved, they said, ربنا, O our Lord, أرنا, this is the command form, second person, masculine singular, أري, أرنا, show us those two, يعني أضلنا, who caused us to go astray from the jinn and from the human beings, نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا, so we put them underneath our feet, ليكونا, so that the two of them will be من الأسفلين, from those who are the lowest. After this, there's an oral exercise. I'll just explain the oral exercise. It says يجري التمرينات, التمرينان, دول الشفويان الآتيان, يعني these two all exercises, تمرينان الشفويان الآتيان, the following two all exercises should be conducted. يعني يجري is from أجرى, يجري, يعني to cause something to occur, to take place, to happen. Two all exercises. The first one, يقول الطالب لزميله, the student says to his classmate, أرني كتابك, show me your book, وأرني ساعتك, show me your watch, وأرني قلمك, show me your pen, show me something, right? And then يجيبه قائلا, the student that he said this to will respond to him saying, سأريكه, سأريكه, I will show you it, سأريكه, وسأريكها, I will show you it if the thing is feminine, بعد قليل, I will show it to you in a little while. Or he will answer by saying, لا أريكه, or لا أريكها, depending if that thing is masculine or feminine, أريكه, if it's feminine, أريكها, لا أريكه, I will not show it to you, or لا أريكها, same meaning, I will not show it to you. That's the first exercise. A student, he says to his friend, show me something, and the other will answer saying, I will show it to you in a little while, or I will not show it to you. The second exercise, يقول المدرس لكل طالب, the teacher says to each student, the first Hamza is a question, is the Hamza for istifham. أه, أريتني, يعني أرى is the verb, أريتا is أنت. أه, يعني is the question, أريتني, did you show me دفترك, did you show me your دفتر, okay? أريتا is the second person masculine singular form of the past tense. Ara, yani became, areta. The first hamza is a question. A areta ni, yani did you show me your notebook? Fayujibuhu qailan, so the student will respond to him saying, Naam areetukahu. Yes, I have shown it to you. Yani, araytu is the first person, singular form from ara, araytu. Yani the alif maksura becomes ya, araytu. Ka anta, I showed it to you. Yani who? Yani araytu kahu means I showed, literally I showed, araytu, I showed, ka you, who it, I showed you it. So the second exercise is, yani the teacher saying to a student, did you show me a daftar? And the student would say, yes, I showed it to you. The next matter from this session, and this might be the last one that we're going to be able to cover today, the third matter we may have to hold over for next week because of the time. The next matter is on the bottom of page 157, جَوَّلْتُ فِي مَشَارِكِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا. I have traveled all around the east of the earth and the west of the earth, meaning all over the world. أي جُلْتُ فِيهَا كَثِيرًا. Yani I have traveled in the east and the west of the earth كَثِيرًا, a lot. Yani meaning the bab فَعَلَ جَوَّلْتُ. Here the meaning of it is that I traveled a lot. Yani تكثير. ينقل الفعل إلى باب فعل لمعان. يعني a verb when it's transferred to this باب فعل, it's transferred for different meanings. لمعان, it has many meanings. From amongst those meanings, منها, من معانيها is التكثير أو المبالغة. It has either the meaning of التكثير, extensive, يعني an action happening again and again to different objects or repeatedly to one object, or it has the meaning, either one of them, not both of them, or it has the meaning of mubalaga, meaning an action that happens one time with one object but with intensity. For example, jawwala means, this is takthir, a jala kathiran, yani I traveled a lot. Tawwafa, this is also takthir, meaning tafa kathiran. Yani, I circumambulated or went around the Kaaba kathiran, many times. Yani, I did it repeatedly. Now remember the takthir can be the action being done many times to different objects or one object. So here we have, yani, jala kathiran, jawwala means I traveled a lot of times to different places, whereas tawwafa means I made tawaf, yani repeatedly around the same object, the Kaaba. Qattala here has the meaning of mubalagha. It's one object, but it's done with intensity. Qattala a balagha fit qatl. Yani it was intensive, the action of killing was intensive. Kassara, yani is also mubalagha, intensity for one object. Balagha fil kasr. Yani that I, it was an intensive action of kasr, of breaking, smashing something. قَطَّعَ أي بَالَغَ فِي الْقَتْلِ. This is also مُبَالَغَ, meaning intensity in the قَطْ, يعني in cutting something up, cutting it up with intensity. عَدَّدَ يعني أي عَدَّ كَثِيرًا, I counted a lot of times, يعني repeatedly counting. So each of these is showing one of the meanings, either one or the other. Either it's تكثير كثيرًا, or it's مبالغة بالغة, يعني بالغة في الكسر, بالغة في القتل, بالغة في القطع, يعني killing, cutting or cutting. And here عددة has the meaning of كثيرا, يعني doing it many times. Okay, and then here, this is a very important, these two examples that come here make us to know that the باب فعل, it's these two meanings of فعل, تكثير and مبالغة. And a word can be used to mean either one of them in different examples. It doesn't have to be used one way. It can be used to mean takthir, that's if there are many objects, or it can be used to mean mubalaga, yani intensity, if it only has one object. So the same verb, kassartu al-aklam, kassartu al-qalam, in the first case, there are many objects, so that means that's the meaning of takthir. Yani the action was done many times to different objects. But in the second example, kassartu al-qalam, yani there's only one object. So this is the meaning of mubalagha. There's one object, the action is done one time, but it's done, yani, with intensity. And then they give us, yani, from the Quran, six examples. Fit tanzeel. The first sentence, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي السَّمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. This is from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 40th Ayah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا, this is the first example that we want to look at, first shahid. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, the objects are many, آيَاتِنَا. So the meaning here is takfir. Yani, they denied our ayats, many ayats. So the denial was many times. Was takbaru, and they were arrogant. They arrogantly turned away from it. لا تفتح لهم الأبواب. Yani, the doors of as-sama, of the heaven, will not be opened for them. Yani, تفتح here means, since the objects are many, the doors will not be opened, then it means takfir. وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, and they will not enter the paradise until the camel, yani, enters into the eye of the needle. Yani, yalija is from the verb walaja. It means to, yani, yadkhula, dakhala. It has the same meaning, to enter. So the camel enters into the eye of the needle. And this will never happen. Number two. Ayat number two, yani, from Surah to Humaza, 104th Surah, second ayat. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ. One object, مَالًا, yani, the one who jama'a malan, collected a lot of mal, and then he addadahu, he counted it many times. This is takfir. Number three, one object, but it's repeatedly counted, therefore it's takfir. The third ayat, qala sanuqattilu abana'ahum. Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 127th ayat. Soon we will kill your children. And here the objects are many, so the killing is going to take place many times, but to many objects. This is a takfir. Number four. وَغَلَّقَتْ الْأَبْوَابَ, and she closed the doors. Yani, there were many doors. So the action of closing took place many times, but to many objects. And this is a takfir. Yani, many objects, it happened many times, but to many objects. And remember, takfir can be many objects, the action being done over and over again to many objects, or it can be repeated on one object. Both of them are takfir because it means kathir. It means that the action is happening a lot of times. Number five. فَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَحَدِيثَ وَمَزَّقْنَاهُمْ كُلَّ مُمَزَّقٍ. From Surah Saba, 34th Surah, 19th Ayat. And we made them a hadith, yani, something that was just talked about. And we tore them up, yani, kulla mumazzak, yani, totally. Here again, this is also takfir. Why? Ja'alnahu wa mazzaqnahum, yani, the tearing up happened to many objects. Hum, all of those people, yani, they were tore up, kullu mumazzak. So that means, yani, there were many objects. That means it's takfir. And the last one, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرَعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 49th Ayat. And remember when نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ, when we delivered you, saved you from آلِ فِرَعَوْنَ, from the people of Pharaoh. يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ, and they were afflicting you with a horrible, terrible, evil punishment. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ, they were slaughtering, killing your children. Here, yani, yani, نَجَّيْنَا is from the verb فَعَلَ, and it means that the action of delivering occurred many times to all of you, to many objects, all of you. نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ, we saved all of you, yani, the people who were Musa, مِنْ آلِ فِرَعَوْنَ. And then the second one, يُذَبِّحُونَ, yani, bab fa'ala, and again, the objects are many, abna'akum, they killed, yani, a lot of your children. So the action of killing took place many times, so it's takfir. All of these are examples of a takthir, and the time has run out. So, the next topic on page 159, Iyaka Wadhan, this topic of a tahdhir will be taken next week, and it will cover the explanation of these this exercise, two exercises, 1 through 11 and 1 through 7, in our live session next week. So we'll carry that over to next week. And next week, inshallah, we'll finish the remaining points in the English key. We'll go over them. The remaining points that we didn't cover up until now, we're going to go over them in the beginning of the session, along with a quick review of lesson 17 from level 3. And then we're going to complete what remains, this exercise related to tahdhir, and whatever else remains, any exercises that remain in this lesson. Hopefully next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will complete this lesson 18. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it correctly, according to the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm, and He grant us al-thabat ala sirat al-mustaqim, upon the straight path, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant any well-being and good health to those amongst us who are sick, and that He pardon and forgive those who have passed away, that He shower His mercy upon them, forgive and pardon them, make their graves spacious, and fill them with light, and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.